The November midterm elections were a blowout and, depending on who you listen to, a major repudiation of Obama's policies. To provide some post-election analysis, here's Dr. Paul Kanger, author, college professor at Grove City College, columnist, and my friend, really. He's also with visionandvalues.org. I guess that's where you can see his columns posted. Dr. Kanger, welcome back to the program.
Jerry, my friend, how are you?
Very good. Comrade. No, I'm just kidding. You've written so many books about the communist movement. It's amazing.
And yeah, you and I avoid that word, don't we? Comrade has a special negative connotation.
It certainly does, my good friend Paul Kanger. Okay, so here's your question. Is Obama still relevant? You said that's the trillion-dollar question in the wake of the midterm elections.
Yeah, I mean, not really. Look, the president is always relevant. They don't call it the bully pulpit of the presidency for no reason. There's the power of the office, the prestige of the office, the communication abilities. And of course, you have Obama with still a fawning, adoring media, whose job is not to cover him objectively, but to help him. I mean, that's what the mainstream media sees its role as. They are Democratic Party partisans. First, and then their journalists second. That's the way their hierarchy of priorities works. So, I mean, he's not completely irrelevant. He has, I expect him to be able to do some things with executive orders. Mm-hmm. And there he could become pretty divisive and I think damaging. And, the one area where he unquestionably is going to still have notable influence is the courts. And possibly even the Supreme Court if Ruth Bader Ginsburg steps down. Mm-hmm. So he still has influence, but he's a lot less relevant. There is now a Republican Congress that is going to oppose almost all of what he wants and is going to slow and probably stop and perhaps even reverse his signature policy achievement, domestic or international, and that's Obamacare.
Mm-hmm. In fact, a lot of the people who won, they ran on Obamacare. Exit polls show that people don't want Obamacare. They want it repealed. And yet I hear the liberal pundits say, well, even if the new House and Senate were to pass a repeal of Obamacare, he, of course, would veto it, and it would not be a veto-proof passing of a bill to repeal it. So why waste everybody's time?
Right. Well, that's wishful thinking. But look, they should remember that they didn't really want Obamacare either, and neither did most of the people who voted for Obama. They voted for Obama simply because he's the Democrat that the Democrats put forward. Let's be honest, because of also they wanted a black president, the first black president. They liked his personality. They liked his charisma. And, then in 2008 and 2012, I could show you the polling data. They walked right outside of the polling booth and they told CNN exit pollers, MSNBC exit pollers, USA Today exit pollers. They described themselves as conservative over liberal by a 2-to-1 margin, about 40 to 20%. That's what that electorate did in 2008 and 2012. So they weren't voting for any of this stuff. They weren't voting for what Barack Obama had deep in the recesses of his progressive leftist mind when he talked about fundamental transformation. They just clapped and cheered because it sounded good. They really didn't even know what that meant. Mm-hmm. So why should they even care now that any of that stuff gets reversed? Well, the only reason is because of the personality and figure of Obama. I think it has almost nothing to do with policy.
Well, do you know that more than 20 senators apparently have lost their seats over Obamacare? And I was thinking about that, and I thought, wait a minute.
Wow.
There was not a single Republican, even the most liberal of the liberal Republicans, who voted in favor of Obamacare. So every one of those people must be Democrats. Now, that doesn't mean every one of them lost. There are cases where they just resigned or, they just retired from the Senate. But still,
right.
20 senators who supported, it's actually in excess of that, 20 senators who supported Obamacare are now not in the Senate.
Wow, that's really
interesting. Or on their way out. On their way out. Yeah, so.
That's a fascinating statistic. I'd have to go back and look at the data, but that may be the biggest single turnover in a party over an 8-year period in the Senate in a long, long time.
Yeah.
I can't think of an 8-year period where one party had 20 of its members in the Senate. I mean, there's only 100 seats in the Senate.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 20 out of probably an average of about 50 Democrats. So you're looking at about 40% of Democratic senators, who supported Obamacare, now gone over the course of less than 8 years, right?
Yeah.
Really since about 2009.
It was passed in 2010. It was passed in 2010.
Right.
Obama
wow.
signed it in March of 2010.
That is really interesting, really significant, and that little piece of data right there ought to tell the media and the country that people are not wild about Obamacare.
Yeah, I think if I had the ear of the Republicans, what I would say, listen, this is the time to strike while come up with a good alternative to Obamacare that will work and work well for the people, that's market-based, that will be much more compassionate, frankly, than Washington bureaucrats taking care of the sick, supposedly, with their exchanges, which aren't working through the internet and they're not working in general. And hospitals are going out of business. Some hospitals are just pulling out of Obamacare, and many doctors are retiring, and it's such a mess. It's like, okay, let's have an alternative. Let's allow state, border to border or beyond border competition for insurance. Let's have those health savings accounts or whatever. Let people take care of their own health. You know, when you were born, when I was born, the bill for the birth of a baby wasn't really that high. It just jumped in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Now it's prohibitive, but that's because the government started getting involved in healthcare. Before that, it wasn't so high. I know of a guy that was born in the 50s in Pennsylvania, where you live. And he showed me the hospital bill. His mom, I think, was there for 4 or 5 days because there were some complications. And I believe the bill was $100 or something like that, $104. You know, I was like, what? You got to be kidding. Just in the 50s, 1950s.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and really, I mean, you're right. They need to respond with a positive alternative.
Yeah.
They need to make it very clear that they need to say, okay, listen, there are X number of people that are uninsured in America, 10 to 20 million, 20 to 25, 25 to 30, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's less than 10% of the population. But you know, there's this many, and maybe even, first of all, there's got to be some unity so there's not confusion. But you might even come out as a political tactic and say, we have two leading bills that we're considering, to maybe even let the American public know there's some sort of deliberation they might even sort of get involved in or contribute to. There's two different bills out here. Both of these say it is illegal to deny anybody care who comes into the hospital, which it is anyway.
It is anyway. You're absolutely right. In fact, you worked in healthcare, so you know a lot of the lies that were promoted in order to get Obamacare passed were indeed lies.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But come forward and say, okay, there are 20 to 25 million people that are uninsured. Here are two plans that we have that absolutely guarantee universality, right? Nobody can be denied care. Nobody cannot. Everybody is covered. Everybody is covered, right? And then really, the kind of classic American sense, even today, in the direction the country has gone, the country has become more left of center, at least culturally.
Mm-hmm.
I think it works with Americans to say, we want a market-based approach. You know, we don't want a federal government, one-size-fits-all, centralized in Washington approach. I mean, Americans still, by and large, and even most young people, millennials, 20, 30-year-olds, people who are 40, who work in the business world but are liberal, you know, they understand business. They understand companies. They live in America. Most people know that the government doesn't do a good job with the post office, right?
Yeah.
That when you go to get your driver's license renewed, it's ridiculous, right? most people still know that the market does a better job with these things.
Absolutely.
Besides, that's the Republican strong point. Everybody sees the Republican Party as the party of the market, as the party of the private sector, and the Democrats as the party of government. So make this look like a genuine Republican plan, and boy, wouldn't it be great for guys like you and I to talk about this for a few months rather than just gay marriage all the time. I'm sick of these cultural issues that are ripping the country apart.
Well, they're important issues, though, and in fact, my next guest will address that. We're talking right now with Dr. Paul Kanger. Now, I must confess, I've got to ask you a question. I'm just kidding with this, but this is totally with tongue-in-cheek. But are you calling me from an Obama phone here?
it's not an Obama phone, but it doesn't sound good, I guess.
No, it sounds fine, but I hear occasionally these little beeps or something, and I don't know what that is. How about the issue of...
I could tell you this.
Yeah, like there's one right there.
In Florida?
What's that? Yeah, we're in Florida.
Your listeners in Florida, it's probably doing that because it's snowing like crazy.
Okay. So those are snow flurries that we're hearing. Oh, okay.
Right.
So you're in Pennsylvania there. All right. Obamacare,
yeah.
We've discussed that. How about amnesty?
Yeah. That indeed is something where Obama can have an influence. And at the very least, if not through what he can do as a president in an executive fashion, again, with the bully pulpit of the presidency, giving speeches, co-opting his media to help him there. But here too, I mean, with Republicans having control now of the House and the Senate, you know, they ought to be able to craft their own bill,
mm-hmm.
To try to do, you know, quote unquote, immigration reform. And here's where maybe you take a future party leader. I like Marco Rubio.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is a chance to get Rubio straight, right? To get him out in front, give him the lead on this, to help mollify conservatives who were angry with him with what he did with Chuck Schumer and the gang a couple mm-hmm. of years ago. Put him out in front as the front man. Maybe also poise him to run in 2016, and let somebody like Rubio take the horns and lead the Republicans and crafting some type of a really sensible, good, smart immigration reform.
But it's got to include, stopping the bleeding now. In other words, stop the rush of illegals coming in. That's got to be one of the main parts of it. Otherwise, this problem will just continue and we'll still have more and more illegals. Meanwhile, 75% of voters who participated in exit polls reject executive amnesty. 75%. That's a repudiation right there of Obama, just doing this by executive fiat, if you will.
Well, it also tells you who came out and voted.
Yeah.
Right? On Tuesday. But that's right. I mean, look, when Ronald Reagan signed amnesty in 1986, what he did was Reagan said, okay, now look, I'm going to do this because, Reagan didn't have the Reagan didn't want to send people back, right? Reagan loved this country. He knew how much people wanted to come to this
mm-hmm.
country. But he said, but I'm doing this on the condition that we tighten border controls, that we enforce this. That, in other words, so this doesn't have to happen again in another 20 years.
Yeah.
Another 10 or 20 years. And that's where we are now,
right?
Because we failed to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have caps on the number of people that come in, well, unless you enforce the caps, then they aren't caps. It's a joke. That has to be taken care of, and that's right. You're probably right. So that's probably a 75% issue where most Americans would agree with that.
Sure.
You want to come into the country as a legal immigrant, then you need to do it legally, right? Illegally is illegal. It's wrong.
Yep.
So let's do this the right way.
By the way, the source on that original thing that I said about the 20-plus senators, my source mm-hmm. on that is the Washington Examiner, Philip Klein, November 6, 2014. I said 20-plus. Here's what his headline says. 29 senators who voted for Obamacare won't be part of new Senate. Philip Klein, November 6, 2014, National Examiner. We have time for one last question. The economy.
Mm-hmm.
What was Tuesday's, the midterm elections, what was the statement there as far as Obama's handling of the economy?
Well, he's been terrible on the economy from the beginning, but one thing that's very interesting that hardly anybody has noticed, and I wrote a piece on this for USA Today. It was published, I think, last Friday.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks. Amazingly, they listened to me, but I found a piece of information that they just found irresistible, and that is an amazing thing happened the last 2 years. The Republican Congress, for two consecutive years, actually cut spending. And
what?
You know, Congress does, Congress doesn't cut spending. The last time that a Congress
this turns off in 10 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh. Was 1953-55.
Wow.
The last time. Yeah,
Vision.
Yeah. So that's a big deal.
Visionandvalues.org to read more about Paul Kanger, Kenger. Paul, thank you and all the best.